God, for you having your way today, Father God. We thank you for praise and worship, oh God. We thank you that we are here today, Father God. We didn't let the weather keep us out, Father God, and we came to have some time with you, to spend some time with you, to worship and to get a word, Father God. So I pray for right now, everybody under the sound of my voice, Father God, that you have your way, oh God. Touch every heart, touch every mind, touch every child, oh God, today, Father God. I pray, oh God, you make a move in this place like never before, oh God. Help, oh God, me to decrease so you may increase, Father God. So I pray, oh God, you have your way in this sanctuary, oh God. We thank you for it being done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give God one more shout of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The kids, y'all may rise. Y'all can go ahead and be dismissed to children's church. All of the children can go ahead and be dismissed. Hallelujah. Well, as most of you know, we are kickstarting a new sermon series called Prayer and Fasting, something that's very important to any believer in Christ. So today, I'm going to do a lot of teaching today, so I'm going to hurry up and take my time. Y'all don't mind, do y'all? All right, I'm going to hurry up and take my time because I got to make sure y'all get this. Some good stuff that God has and he's been dealing with me as we prepare to fast. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Last time I asked you to stand, you stand anymore? Because you want to. Amen. Amen. For the reading of the word, Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 8 is all I'm going to read. And I'm using the Message Bible today. I'm using my ghetto version all church so y'all can kind of feel it. I want to make sure y'all feel this thing. So we're going to Isaiah 58. This is the Message Bible, so yours may read a little different. And it states, "This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debt. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own family." Verse 8, "Do this and the lights will turn on.
Amen.
And your lives will turn around at once.
Amen.
Your righteousness will pave your way.
Amen.
And the God of glory will secure your passage." Amen.
Amen.
Give God a praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Sir Leonard Williams was once invited by the King of France to come over and have dinner. The King invited Sir Williams to come over and eat dinner with him. And so he came and he had a wonderful time. The king enjoyed his presence. He said, "You know what? I got to invite Sir Leonard to come back again. I want you to come back and have dinner with me." So some time went past. The day finally came and Sir Leonard showed back up to the palace. The king's walking through the halls. He's kind of confused. He says, "Sir Leonard, why are you here today?" And Sir Leonard thought he might have had the wrong date. Like, "Dang, did I get the wrong date? I know the king said be here today." So he says, I didn't really expect to see you today." And Sir Leonard said, "Well, this is the time." King said, "Yeah, that's correct, but you didn't respond to my invitation." Sir Leonard said, "But your majesty, an invitation from the king doesn't have to be responded to, but it has to be obeyed."
Amen.
Ooh, y'all already missed that. Look at somebody and tell them, obedience is priceless.
Obedience is priceless.
Yeah, obedience is priceless. Obedience is a phenomenon. For most of us as children, we struggle with obeying. Yeah, if I give the microphone to anybody's parents in here right now, they would tell some stories about us and how disobedient we was and how we chose not to obey from the time from our terrible twos to our grown selves. Yeah, as students in school, we probably wasn't much better. I know I wasn't. Didn't really care what the teacher was saying. Didn't want to obey the teacher. I felt I could do it my way, and my way was better. If I wanted to copy out somebody's homework, let me do it. We chose to do our own thing, even in school. And even as adults, with our grown pay your own bill self. If our boss starts talking something we don't want to hear, or we feel the job is tripping, what do? We veer off and do our own thing. "I ain't about to do this today. I ain't lost their mind. I ain't doing all that work. They better get somebody else to do it." So you can see we all got a lot of progress to go in the obedience department. As we embark on this new series, some of you, it may be your first time ever fasting, and that's okay. God isn't going to discredit you if you mess up. If you mess up and eat a piece of chicken, that's not what I'm after. I'm not after that. If you're gonna try, at least have it baked or grilled. If you do gotta mess up. But one thing we must never forget, that God is looking at our hearts. And if you're going to give God your all and sacrificing Him from a pure heart, guess what? God will still honor that. Here's a disclaimer before we get started. I don't want you to have to drink alcohol to deal with the fast. I don't want you to say, you know what? I can't eat. I'm not going to eat this meat, so I got to go drink some Patron to deal with this. That's not what the fast is designed for. I don't want you struggling to the point of that. That's not what it's designed for. We got to get, you don't want no stressing over the fast. No. So we're going to get somewhere in God with this fast, but I want to give you some important scripture surrounding prayer, fasting, along with a biblical understanding of the disciplines every believer should have if you want God to maximize your life. Amen. So I hope with this teaching we begin to do this. See with new eyes. What do you mean, Pastor? See with new eyes. I want us to see our own sinful nature. Yeah, that we all got some issues, that we all need some help, that we all got a piece of our heart that does not want to obey God. All of us got some problems. I want us to have a fresh revelation of His Word with new eyes. When I read the Bible, when I see something, and at one point in time, it didn't even make sense to me. Now I understand it. I can feel God speaking to me, and it's fresh, and I'm getting it now. I want us to see with new eyes how much our community, city, and country all need Jesus. It's a book I've been reading, The Power of Praying and Fasting. Here's an excerpt from it I want to read to you real quick. Obedience to the commands of God through physical solitude, exterior silence, and by entering His holy presence through the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting. This is not an esoteric experience where we escape to a desert, climb a lonely hilltop, or retreat to the quietness of our family room for study without purpose. Our objective has never been more focused. It is giving up physical food with a specific spiritual goal in mind. This is by Ronnie Floyd talking about the power of prayer and fasting. So he says that we are giving up physical food for a certain amount of time with a spiritual goal in mind. And before we get to doing all that, we're talking about fasting. I'm going to touch on prayer a little bit because prayer and fasting are two separate things. But when you put them together, woo, you got a dynamic duo. When you put them together, something special happens. So I'm going to give you a little acronym real quick before we get started to help out with our prayer life. And the acronym is ACTS. A-C-T-S. ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. You want to write, if you want to write that down, you got something which you want to write down, go ahead, I'll give you time. But ACTS is an acronym to remember to help you with your prayer life. ACTS. So what is ACTS? Adoration is what? It's prayer that praises and worships God. We were created to give God praise, and it is an invitation to enjoy God and express our wonder in the one who is most wonderful. Amen. So how often do you praise God while you're praying? Amen. Think about that. How many times do you lift up His name while I'm praying? When I'm thanking Him for being God all by Himself, His majesticness, His ability to know the stars by name but still know my name. Amen. Knowing that He created the world, that He created me with a purpose, that He's great, that He's wonderful. Think about how awesome God is, the creator of the whole universe, but He still want to draw near to me. Amen. He still cares about me and what I think and how I feel. So adoration is something that we must get in our prayer life. Next, confession, the C. is the prayer that gets honest about our sins. Yeah. Confession must be part of your prayer life. Getting right and staying clean before God is necessary to remain close to Him and be effective in prayer. Don't get it twisted. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Ain't nobody perfect sitting in here. That's not what I'm saying. But all have sinned. But check this out. We must get to a point that we're willing to serve God and get ourselves clean. See, we are not ready to properly serve God or ask Him for much when we have unaddressed sin in our life. When we do read things like this, watch this. Blessed is the man whose sins have been covered, whose transgressions have been forgiven. That's Psalm 32. So when we read these things, we see that the connection between blessing with forgiveness. 1 John 1:8, every Christian should know this scripture. One of my favorite scriptures, 8:9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow, yeah. So if you run around saying you're perfect, yeah, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself, you're lying. no truth in you. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, yes, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the way to get cleansed is by confessing our sins. I love this. The Bible says like this. He who confesses his sin is shown grace. Grace is shown grace and mercy. So what I confess, he'll cover.
Amen. Ooh. That's good.
But what I choose to cover, he won't forgive. Don't forget that.
That's good.
So confession must be part of our prayer life.
Good.
Look at this, the T. Thanksgiving. We even did a series called Everything Give Thanks. Thanksgiving is God-directed, humbly expressed gratitude. Thanksgiving is priceless, yet it costs nothing but the fruit of our lips. Woo!
That's good.
That's why every time we're trying to pump y'all up. Because saying thank you don't cost nothing but your mouth.
Amen.
To say thank you is easy. And sometimes we can't even say thank you. Think about that. It don't cost you nothing. You only got to get up to say thank you. All you got to do is open your mouth. We'll repeat lyrics to songs. We'll talk bad about people. We'll cuss people out. We'll be ready to fight. But we can't come together and say thank you. It don't cost nothing. But ungratefulness is very costly. Yeah. While praise focuses more on who God is, thanksgiving highlights what he has done for us already. That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Giving thanks always for everything. Regardless of the pain or the problems I faced in life, I still got to say thank you. Because I've been through enough in my life to know that it could be worse. That when I thought I hit rock bottom, I met somebody that actually hit rock bottom. So I wasn't as low as I thought I was. So I always have to have a thankful spirit in me, even in my prayer life. Last S, supplication. It's asking God for something. It means to beseech, a petition, or appeal for him to do or provide something for yourself and others. Another example of that is intercession prayer, which is praying for other people. James 4:2, one of my favorite scriptures, says, you do not have because you do not ask. That's pretty straightforward. You do not have because you do not ask. So that means even though God knows what you need before you ask, you don't have it because you don't ask. Vis-a-vis, closed mouth don't get fed. So you don't have it because you don't ask it. But remember all the other things before that, the confession of sins, the thanksgiving, the adoration, all your heart must be in a certain place, because when God wants to give you something, he got to be sure he can trust you with it. Because think about this. If I want $1 million right now, I want $1 million, but I got some bad habits. I smoke a lot. I drink a lot. I'm out of control. I'm a womanizer and all these things. If God give it to me, it's going to destroy me. But see, the devil don't care about that. He want me to have it so I can destroy myself. So you got to understand the difference between a blessing and a trick. Because sometimes it's the enemy thinking it's God. We want it so bad and we get it, but it wasn't from God. It's from the enemy, because God cares about us. The enemy will let you destroy yourself. So we got to get to a place. So biblical wisdom and listening supplication lasts. So our first three plays, when we are adoring God, confessing our sin, and being thankful, now we got a place that we're coming from, a pure place, and ask some supplication of what we're praying for. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's a little, my little piece on prayer real quick. Now let's look at the type of fasting real quick before we dig into the text. A regular fast. What is a regular fast? A regular fast is something we see Jesus and Moses do. It's 40 days. They ate no food for 40 days. They did drink. Water, obviously, but no food for 40 days is what a regular fast is. A partial fast. What we are doing, some people say Daniel fast, but it's not really such thing as a Daniel fast in the Bible. It's really a partial fast, which means that you're giving up certain foods for a certain amount of time. You're drinking water and we're drinking juice, but we're giving up certain foods. Daniel did this. A full fast is something that Paul and Esther did for 3 days. They didn't eat anything, they didn't drink anything for 3 days. That's pretty tough. But they needed God to move in such a way. So this is what they did. They didn't eat or drink for 3 days. The last one you see is a sexual fast, which is for married people only. Text tag married people only.
Married.
In case you didn't know. Married people only, that's what the sexual fast is for. So Paul, his biblical wisdom, God giving him wisdom, says this is in 1 Corinthians 7. Y'all can read this, 3 through 6. He says, it's a point in your life that if you want to get closer to God as husband and wife, y'all can even take a break from sex. Because you want to get that close to God. But he also says, don't be a fool. First of all, y'all both got to agree. You don't go do that on your own. You got to make sure y'all in agreement with it before you do that. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. You got to make sure y'all in agreement. You can't just make that decision. I'm going closer to God today, honey. God told me 7 days. And I was like, what? He ain't told me that. I missed that whole prayer right there. You sure you heard God? And the reason he said is because if you don't agree and you take too much time apart, the enemy will come in and trick you. That's when he'll send temptation your way because y'all ain't in agreement and y'all not coming together as husband and wife. So then he sends somebody in there to trick you and mess up y'all marriage. So it's important that we consent when it's a sexual fast, amen? So those are the types of fasts that are listed in the Bible. So now we're going to look at Isaiah 58. Let's look at verse 1 and what it says right here. A shout.
Yes, hallelujah.
A full-throated shout.
Thank you, Lord.
Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout.
Yes, yes.
Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Wow. And face my family Jacob with their sins.
Wow.
They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me.
Yeah.
To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law abiding, God honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Let's look at verse 3. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast day is profit. You drive your employees too hard. So this is written by the prophet Isaiah. Check this out. He is charged by God to call people out about their lives. Yeah. You must go and tell them about their sins loudly with a trumpet blast. Let them know that they ain't living right. So the thing is, they being busy, but they ain't doing nothing. Ah, that's messed up. They busy, but they ain't doing nothing. That's like an oxymoron. He said they are busy worshiping me, loving me, studying all about me, and they appear to love God. They appear to honor God. They have this appearance about them that is amazing, but they don't love me. See, my job as a pastor and a Christian myself is to make sure we are worshiping and honoring God, what? Correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even as we approach this fast, it's my job to make sure that we are doing it correctly.
Amen.
Because I lived long enough in my life to know that some of the worst things have been done with the best intentions. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you didn't catch that. Some of the worst things have been done with the best intentions. I've seen people befriend people and try to help them. And end up messing up relationships and friendships. And they had the right intentions at the beginning. And it turned sour real quick. So we must understand this, that God does not want us going through the motions. Time out for going through the motions. My kids like to play basketball. And I take them to go training and things. And when we doing drills, one thing I try to put in their mind is you have to go game speed. You got to go through this drill as hard as you can. Now, going through the drill, obviously, it's some cones there that is not a defender guarding you right there. So it's not a person. So it's easy to get around a cone. But what I'm trying to put into them is that you got to do your absolute best, even when you're doing the drill, because when the test comes, you're ready.
Amen.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So when we are fasting, we're denying our flesh, our physical bodies, certain foods and delicacies. Our intent and purpose behind it must be to get closer to God. Yeah, yeah. We must be ready when the test comes. See, we're not fasting because we're trying to manipulate God on our behalf. It doesn't work like that, baby. Fasting does not manipulate God or make him do anything.
Wow.
It's not about God. It's about God doing something for us. It's about us getting closer to God. We cannot bribe God, bargain God. We can't do any of those things because he has already done more than enough. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So he's given us his son as a sacrifice to get to heaven. So God has already done enough. We already deserve death. But look at the Israel response in verse 3. They're complaining while we fasted. Why have we humbled ourselves and you don't even notice? So what that means is that God don't really notice when we being super religious. He's not concerned about our religious and our false devotion to him. He's not concerned about none of that. He's looking what? At our hearts. So before you start saying, Pastor, I can't do it. I can't fast. I can't do it. Let me tell you something about some biblical figures. Moses and Jesus both fasted for 40 days with no food. You know, scientists even did a study that said the longest a human body can go without food is 40 days before it starts to eat itself. So we scientists can even prove it, something that's already in the Bible, that we can go 40 days with just liquids. That's deep to me. Esther and the whole nation did a full fast. No food, no drink for 3 days. They didn't eat anything. So God called to be part of his ministry, right? Yeah. Because guess what? Just because we Pastor George and Lady Thomas don't mean it's easy for us too. We human.
Amen.
It don't mean the fast. It's not meant to be easy. It's meant God to stretch us. To get us to a place where he needs us to be. It's meant for God to do this. Control our appetites.
Amen.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? My body needs liquid to live, right? If I don't drink water or fill my body with liquids, I will do what? We'll dehydrate. But what do? We fill our body with pops and sodas. And then we wonder why our kidneys and livers and all this stuff gets jacked up when we get older from too much sugar and all this stuff. Because being thirsty and liquid is a part of life, something we need. So look at what it does. If we don't know how to control our appetite with liquids, guess what? A lot of people become alcoholics. Because they have never controlled their appetite of thirst. Anybody here love to eat besides me? Amen. Alright. Ate good last night, matter of fact. But most of us, what do? We eat to live instead of living to eat. Yeah. Then we got hypertension issues, and then we got cancer flowing through our body. And we got all these issues. Why? Because we're eating. We haven't learned, we got clogged arteries. We haven't learned to control our appetites. And this is what fasting does. It not only brings us closer to God, but if I learn how to tell my body no to certain liquids and certain foods, something that I really need to live, guess what? I can tell my body no when it want to have sex. I can tell my body no when it want to do drugs. I can tell my body no, my mind no when it wants to lie. Why? Because I don't need none of that stuff to live. I need food to live. Anybody die from not having sex? I think so. Okay. All right. But you will die from starvation. You will die from dehydration. So what it's teaching us is to control my appetite.
Yeah, amen.
So what? So I can obey God. Because if I can obey God in the natural form, I should be able to obey him in the spiritual as well.
Amen.
See, I got supernatural power now that helps me put my body into subjection. My flesh no longer controls me. This thing in me that wants to disobey God, I can make it come under my own subjection now.
Amen.
I want to make sure that we are fasting and that we're looking at it the right way. Check this out. Jesus, in your spare time, read Matthew 6, but he hits us with the when you. I call this the when you. Jesus says, when you give, you do this. When you pray, you do this. When you fast, you do this. He never said, if you should. Yeah, he didn't say that to his followers. If you should pray, if you should give, if you should fast. No, Jesus said, when you. Let's just look at it. So Matthew 6 and 16 says this. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites. For they disfigure their face and show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So if I come around work, face all toe up. We fasting at my church. We can't eat. I can't eat nothing. I'm trying to get closer to God. We come in there like that. Jesus said, you didn't got your whole reward right there. Because you want somebody to say something to you. But look at the next one. But when you fast, put oil on your head. Wash your face so that it would not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And when your Father, who sees what you've done in secret, my Father, when your Father sees what you've done in secret, will reward you openly. Woo! That's like a promise to me. That's like a promise to me. I got to get that. Nobody supposed to know you fasting. You're supposed to keep it on the low. See, when I'm at work, because I fast periodically, and it seems like those days, everybody want to buy lunch, everybody want to do all this stuff when I'm fasting. And I'd be like, nah, I'm good. Come on, no, I'm good. I'm just focused on the Lord right now, and they kind of just leave me alone. So I didn't know, I'm focused on the Lord right now. That's all you need to know. But check this out. I've been at work and fasting long enough to know, don't think temptation ain't going to come. I've been fasting one time at work. Jimmy John's bought a whole tray of free subs. A whole free subs, bread, meat, cheese, everything? How do you do that? I've been on fast. People come, all the longs, donuts laid out. So surprise birthday party, cake, they did a pitching, all this stuff. And even though all this is going on, it's funny to me because I know the devil trying to mess me up. Because God got something for me.
Amen.
If you silly enough to bring some food in here, then let me know I'm on the right track.
Amen.
And I want this reward openly, so I'm not going to let nothing get me off track because God is doing something in my life. And I need what he has for me. So just know that when you're fasting, you got to be having a mind frame that I'm doing this to please God and no one else.
That's it.
Look at back to Isaiah 58, verse 4. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. This kind of fasting won't get your prayers off the ground. Ooh. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like. Check this out. So you fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but at the same time, you mean? I thought you were supposed to get closer to God. See, we don't want to be the type of people. Check this out. He said your prayers won't get off the ground, so we don't want to be the type of people that, guess what, our prayers don't go past the ceiling. That's a fearful thing to know God has the whole world in his hands, that if I ask, I can receive, and if I keep knocking, he opens the door for me, but if I fast and carry myself a certain way, my prayers don't get off the ground? So it is a must that, guess what? We have to humble ourselves before God. The Bible says this, a haughty spirit comes before destruction. Pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen.
Yeah. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Yes, yes,
humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time.
Yes.
I learned this. If I be humble and holy, God will put something on me that's heavenly. Y'all understand? If I be holy and humble, then I get a heavenly blessing that can't nobody take from me.
Amen.
So I want all God has for me. See, God knows our hearts. So all that acting don't mean nothing.
Yeah,
he's not impressed by our outward actions because he knows our inward state. God is the polar opposite of man. Never forget that. When Samuel was trying to find David, trying to find the king, he looked at all of Jesse's sons. He said, this boy got to be it. He big and strong. Wrong. This boy got to be it. No, he went through all Jesse's sons. The Lord, you told me the son of the king was here. Where he at, Lord? And he said, did you catch just all your sons? Jesse was like, yeah. He said, well, I got one in the back, a little ruddy boy. He in the back with the sheep. They got him. Bring him up here, too. And when he came, God told Samuel to anoint him. And he said, I don't look like man on the appearance. God looks at the heart. So God is always searching and looking at our hearts. Never forget that. Verse 6. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed and cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes. Putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad. Being available to your whole family. Your own families. God is telling us exactly what he's looking for when we fast. This is not about our works, because we know we're saved by Christ. So it's not about works, but fasting means so much. Jesus fasted. So if he's God and fasted, why don't we think we got to?
Amen.
So while we fast correctly, we're going to reap benefits whatever God has for us.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm confident he's going to answer somebody's prayers in this fast. I'm confident he's going to do a new thing in your life. I'm confident he's going to build some bridges. I'm confident he's going to do some things you didn't even think was possible. Why? Because God honors people when they fast from the right place. And we're doing a corporate fast, which also means that God wants to have an impact beyond just us, but also on society as well. Go look at verse 7 again. Feeding the poor, clothing them, inviting them to your home. Now, I don't want y'all just going to invite random people to your home. You got to use wisdom now. They were a whole net community. This is a little different. Amen. Don't invite people to your home. Don't do that. No. But we're feeding the homeless in a couple weeks. So we've been doing that every month. And I'm grateful for it. It's been such a blessing to this ministry. I love doing it. But as we're fasting, why not put a little extra with it? Maybe we can do some socks again and try to get some people some socks. Maybe we can do some care packs this time and give them some things they may need. I don't know, some sanitizer, some wipes, toothbrush. I don't know, whatever it is. But why not do more? Because when we're doing more, God honors that, especially when you're fasting. And look what else he said. Be available to your own families.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we got to cut that TV out, y'all. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to join this fast. I'm not saying don't watch TV. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is take some time out from the TV and sit down with your family. Mm-hmm. Talk to your children.
Yeah.
What's going on in their lives? Pray with your children. Show them some love. God is honored by that when we spend time with our own families. He wants us to spend time with our spouses. God wants us to be take care of our family, which is important to God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's look at verse 8. Do this, and the lights will turn on.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, we were saying about the light. Do this, and the light will turn on. Your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way, and the glory of God will secure your passage.
Amen.
Then, when you pray, God will answer.
Amen.
Y'all know how to shout.
Amen.
My goodness, I'm not gonna read that right. Hold on.
Then,
when you pray,
yes,
God will answer.
Amen.
I need God to answer my prayers. I don't know about y'all. I need Him to answer my prayers. I got a lot to pray for.
Yeah.
You will call out for help, and I'll say, "Here I am."
Yeah.
I miss another shout. I call out for help, and then I say, "Here I am."
Yeah.
A full life in the emptiness of place. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, and quit gossiping about other people's sin.
Yeah.
Ooh, God called for us to do some things,
amen.
Amen.
That's a lot.
Some of us have been through enough hell in our life without God.
Amen.
Been through some of the worst, and didn't even have God on our side. And we're stripped out. Some of us been through a lot of hell with God.
Yes.
But He the reason that thing didn't kill us.
Amen.
He the reason we still got our mind.
Good.
He the reason why I should be crazy, but I'm not. He's the reason that He's kept us through it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And I'm crazy enough to believe that even when people wasn't depending on Him, if you still alive, He kept you through it anyway.
Amen.
When you didn't even know He was keeping you through it. Because He's that kind of God.
Amen.
So God is right there.
Yes, He is.
Ready to help us. He's the reason that we got to give Him all the glory.
Amen.
I mean, I can just praise God on and on and on because of so much that He's done in helping us. But guess what? As we fast and we grow, one thing I've learned about this Christian walk, that every new level brings new devils.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Things that we were dealing with before, they change when you go up a notch.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you're able to see a little different. I remember talking to people when they get saved, and it's like, these things that I just used to run to, now I kind of see the enemy making His plan together for me.
Yeah.
Like, I can see this person trying to get me to trick me to come do this and come do that. At first, I would go with them, wouldn't think twice about it. But now, as I'm trying to live for Christ, I say, you know what? It's the devil.
Yeah.
He's trying to orchestrate some stuff in my life, might take me out of here. So every time we grow up, a new level is a new devil. But when I fast correctly, He says my righteousness pays me a new way.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when I'm doing it right, check this out. This is what God does. He got me in my own lane, y'all. Yeah, yeah. When I fast right, God puts me in my own lane. I'm on a one way, y'all. And the glory of God has secured my passage. That's what it says in that. The glory of God, not only am I on my one way, but He secured my passage. So because I'm living right, I'm in my own lane of blessings. Because I'm living right, I'm in my own lane of favor. Because I'm living right, God has made a way out of no way. And can't nobody turn it away from me. I got it. And God, with His awesomeness and His glory, works out and declares that this is His way. And He's going to protect me on it. Yeah, yeah, I love that. Look at verse 9. Then when you pray, God will answer. You
will
call out for help, and I say, here I am. A full life of emptiness of places. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, and quit gossiping about other people's sins.
Amen.
There is something about fasting the right way that God honors our prayers.
Yes, yes.
Not just that, but if we call out for help, He says, here I am.
Here I am. Yes.
Oh, man.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This is where we have to grow up and get rid of unfair practices. So things that we are doing that we know are not right, that we've been dealing with, and it's okay. But this is a time where God is saying we need some cleansing.
Yeah.
And I got to get rid of these unfair practices. What are unfair practices? Anything that's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that don't bring God glory. Anything that messes up my relationship with God. Anything that might mess up my relationship with my brothers and I'm being unfair about. I got to give these things up. We have to quit being dishonest.
Yes.
Honesty helps us quit blaming people for our own problems. Because we're quick to play the blame game. My son is excellent at it. Excellent at the blame game. He sat out yesterday. That wasn't a foul. They did this. But they ran to me. They did. You can't keep making excuses, son.
That's it.
And that's what we got to teach our kids. Because if you a little boy that gets away with making excuses, you're going to be a man making excuses. And we ain't got no time for no more man making no excuses. No. We don't make excuses. We make adjustments. Amen. So if you messed up, we're going to figure out what we did wrong and correct that problem. But we don't need no more. Especially no men filled with excuses. So it's my job as a father to teach him, no, you were wrong. And it's okay. Just correct it.
That's it. That's good.
But God in his providence wants us to quit blaming people. Quit playing the victim. And look at the big one right here. Quit gossiping about other people's sins. Yeah, that gossip's something else.
Yeah.
Girl, you hear about such and such? You see they Facebook posts? What's going on over there? Bro, you see old boy over there? Her bro locked up. I heard he snitching. I heard this. I heard that. All this gossiping about other people's sins. And this is the Christian way to gossip. I wasn't going to say nothing, but can you please pray for such and such? That's how the Christian gossip. Yeah, I know that. That's the Christian form of gossip. I wasn't going to say nothing, but such and such need prayer. They got this, 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 and this. And this person don't even know how to intercede. Why are you telling them? Can they really get a prayer through?
Amen.
So God wants us not to gossip about these people, but pray for them sincerely.
Amen.
Go talk to him or gossip to him about them. Lord, I know they're going through right now. I know their life is jacked up. I know they're dealing with this issue, Lord. Please bless them. Help them, oh God, where they need to be. Don't talk to everybody else. Talk to God about it.
That's it. It's good. It's good.
Verse 10. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness.
Amen.
Your shadow lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiness of place. Firm muscles, strong bones.
Yes.
You'll be like well-watered gardens and a gurgling spring that never runs dry.
Woo.
That's it right there. That's it. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourself away. So what is fasting about? It's submitting to God, giving myself to God, but also about learn how to give myself away.
Amen.
To help others, to benefit others. He said, when I do that, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. My life, which was full of darkness. Darkness means what? My life was shadowed. So my life that was shadowed, now God bathes it in sunlight.
Yeah.
Man, let your light so shine. Amen. That men may see your good works and honor your Father that is in heaven. So what God is trying to get us to do is replicate the light that he puts in us to help other people. But how does that light come about? We got to be about our Father's business. We must understand that God wants us to serve him and serve him correctly, to honor our people, to love God and to love people. When we do all this, a light is produced in us. Look at verse 11 real quick. The promise I always show you is where. I always show you where to go. That's a promise from God. I'll always show you where to go. See, what fasting does, it makes you sensitive to your spirit. He said, I'll always show you where to go. So when I'm fasting, I'm able to hear God like never before.
Amen.
When I'm fasting, I'm sensitive to the spirit. Why? Because I'm denying my body what makes me rely on it naturally, which means I can't rely on my own strength anymore. I got to rely on the spiritual. I can no longer rely on that cheeseburger to get me through. I can't rely on that fried chicken. I can't rely on these things that give me natural energy. Now I have to get to a point where I'm relying on God and his spirit.
Amen.
So check it out. God says he'll take care of our muscles and our bones and make sure that they're strong. Then he says, I will make you a well-watered spring. And I told you last week what God wants us to be, a fountain. Why does God want us to be a fountain? Because a fountain is water and it brings life. And not only is it to bless us, but it's to bless others. That when I'm a fountain, my children can drink from my fountain. Yeah. That my spouse can drink from my fountain. Yeah. That my enemies can drink from my fountain. So God has something with water. He wants water pouring out of us. Because others need to drink of Jesus from your life.
Amen.
Look at this. You will be a well-watered garden. A gurgling spring that never runs dry. Fasting right, being obedient, will bring such a power in your life. A well-watered garden that has good light in it always produces something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A well-watered garden that gets enough sunlight is always going to produce some fruit. Mm-hmm. So what God is saying is that when we become like this, he's telling us to be to fast correctly, and we become the type of garden that he wants to see, you're going to always produce something in your life. God cares about you. The Bible says this, that he wants you to be in good health and prosper, even as your soul should prosper. Which means what? God wants us to prosper. But it's only a certain way we can do that. And it's by producing something. If you want to see fruit in your life, in the spiritual, in the physical, in the financial, bond is broken, all these things, fasting will do something in your life like nothing else. Sacrificing for God will bring you to a new level. And this is it as I close. And we'll talk about this too. Jesus, his disciples, were dealing with a little boy plagued with a demon. They couldn't. His disciples, he gave them power and authority over demons. And they were casting out devils everywhere. Jesus gave them that authority. They got to this little boy and couldn't cast it out. Didn't know what else to do. So they brought the little boy to Jesus. Jesus put his hands on the boy, cast out the demon. And the disciples were shocked. Jesus, we've been pleading with this demon for hours. We've been praying, putting oil on him, speaking in tongues. We're doing everything.
Yeah.
And can't get this demon out. And Jesus says, this one can only be cast out by prayer and fasting.
That's right. Help us.
So it's some things in our life that twist up our soul so much sometimes.
Yeah.
And get us in so much bondage.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to break free from them, it's by prayer and fasting. Amen. We got to praise the place.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I know today was more of a teacher day, but I want to make sure we get this thing on the right foot.
Amen.
Because God wants to do something. You put a group of people together on one accord doing one thing.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You see teams that win championships. What are they? They got a chemistry about them. That it's just there. It's undeniable how they roll. And I'm telling you, we commit to fasting for God and doing our very best. Not making it about if I made a mistake, but doing our very best, pushing ourselves. I don't think God won't honor that.
Amen.
I don't think God won't bless you for that. He desires to bless us for honoring him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus and the pardon of their sins, if you do not know God, if you do not know God, the God I'm talking about, the God that I know will do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can think or ask according to the power that works within you. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, today should be that day. If you don't know the God that loves you, that died for you, that gave up his son for you, let today be the day you give him your life.
Yeah.
You're just coming up here giving me your hand, but you're giving God your heart. God loves you and he cares for you. God's watched over you all this time. I love the Bible because it says that God is not lackluster in bringing back his promise of coming back. God coming back. But the only reason he ain't come back yet is he don't want nobody to perish. He want to see everybody make it because he died for it. He loved for you. He loves you. He loves you. So if you have not made a decision to follow Christ, and maybe you are saved, but you have not made a decision to rededicate your life to Christ and say, you know what, I'm coming back home. I want to give my life back to Christ. I want to get on the right path. I want to get on the right foot. I've been through not enough. I've been through enough heartache. I've been through enough pain. I've been through enough ups and downs, twists and turns. And you know what? This world could have took me out. The devil should have took me out.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
But glory to God, he let me come to church today and gave me another chance. So if you know you need to be saved, say, I need to be connected. I need a church home. I need a pastor. I need a first lady, someone that's willing to pray for me and love me and help me.
Yes.
Guide me through this thing. Guide me through this Christian walk. That's what we're here for. That's what God called us to do.
Yes.
To love on people and help bring them closer to him. they can see the truth in him. That my son, I gave my son, I love you that much. I gave my son up for you. I love you that much. I want to see you. I want to see you with me forever. I love you that much. I want you to be blessed on earth and in heaven. I love you that much. That God cares about you. That's a trip. Especially as brothers, if we lose some of these brothers to the street. And it's like we run and chase the things that's out there and go so hard for them. And I've learned the streets don't love you. That you rip and run them long enough, when you get older, they look at you like you lame. Because you've been ripped and ran them so long, now the young dudes don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about you or what you did or what you're doing on your resume. All they care about is what's in front of them. So it's our job, who have been through the ringer, have been through some things, to do what? Show them a better way. Because I guarantee, I know with some OGs, if they had a chance to do it again, they'd do it different. If God gave them a second chance on life, they wouldn't care about what people thought. They wouldn't care about what being cool or being hard, whatever the case may be. None of that matters. My life with God matters. My family matters. My children matters. That's all that really matters at the end of the day. And God is, the Bible says God is love. How do we know what love is? Because God is love. And it's crazy because this world will make you think love is for suckers. That if you love, you a punk. If you love, you weak. No, no, no. If God is love, what are you saying then? Is God weak? Is God a sucker? This world twisted our mind and our thought process. So you know you need to be closer to God. If you know it's a decision I need to make, I need to get on this right path, I need to go. God is calling me. 2019, I ain't got no more time to waste. I was doing my thing for so long. 2019, I need to get this thing together. I want to finish this year strong. I want to finish this year on a new level. I want to finish this year going in further in God. See what God has seen, what the world has for me. I didn't see what they didn't have. I want to see what God has for me. What God wants me to do. Because he's deserving of more, y'all. That's how I've been in my spirit so much this week. He's deserving of more. When we think about how good our parents were to us and how much they loved us and cared for us. And we always wish we could get them a little bit more. Because when you realize you get older, you took care of me. You watched out for me. You loved me. Even in my mistakes, and even in my wrongs, you loved me, you cared for me, you did all these things, you deserve it or more. How much more is the one who gave us our parents? How much more is the one that gave us breath? How much is the more the one that gave us life? How much more is he worth? And how much more is he deserving? I don't care how much I give God, I still feel like he deserves more. I don't care how much I give him. I don't care who I pastor or what I do. I always feel like I can still give him more because he's been that good to me. He didn't have to save me. On my way to hell with a full tank. And he still saved me. On my way to hell with gasoline draws on, but he still saved me. He didn't have to do it. So he's always deserving of more. So y'all know I don't play the scare game. Nobody trying to scare you in heaven, but that don't work anyway. You're going to do whatever's in your heart and your mind anyway. You can't scare nobody into salvation. But I'm just trying to help you realize the problem. The fact is that we all need a Savior. That we all are sinners. Ain't no perfect people. And God has made a way to make it right. By sending his son as a sacrifice. This is it. And I'm done right here. R.C. Sproul, a great theologian. He died like a year or two ago. He said this about the cross. And it messed me up, y'all. It said the cross of Jesus is efficient for everybody. His death on the cross. Which means Jesus dying was enough for everybody's sins of the whole world. But even though it's efficient for all, it's only sufficient for some. So it was enough for the whole world. Efficient. But it's only sufficient because everybody ain't gonna believe. It's only sufficient enough to those who will believe and trust in him. So even though he died for everybody, everybody don't get to reap the benefits. God wants you to reap his benefits. Great are his benefits and his mercy. So I'm done right here when I say it. If you need to be saved, you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you want to be baptized. I don't know what you need. If you need something for God, let today be the day. Don't let pride or fear hold you in your seat. Don't let it hold you in your seat. We're here. We love you. We care about you. And even if you want to talk to me after service, I'm here for that as well. Give God one more praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being here today in his goodness and grace and mercy. As most of you know, we are in a series called Prayer and Fasting. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to dig into this thing about prayer and fasting. And anybody have a good week this week, this past week? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I had an excellent week. We thank God for what he's doing. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. You don't have it, you do have it on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. I ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. And this is what it says. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. One verse. We're gonna do more than that. But it's just one verse right there to get you going. A church began service, and before the service started, the pastor said, "Is there anybody that needs prayer? Come to the altar if you need prayer." And one young man said, "Yes, pastor, I need prayer." So comes on down and said, "What do you need prayer for?" He said, "I need prayer for my hearing." So the pastor calls the church members and they begin to pray for this man's hearing. I mean, they're praying, they're sweating, they're praying for the guy, praying and praying for his hearing. So after service, the pastor says, "Young man, now that we've prayed, how is your hearing?" He says, "Pastor, I don't know. My hearing's not till Tuesday." Yeah, some of y'all ain't never been to court before. Amen. But his hearing went till Tuesday. So today, if you don't mind, shake somebody's hands and say, "Make your request known."
Make your request known.
Yeah, you got to make your request known. You got to let it be known what you need from God. Make your request known. Amen. So we're in the book of Nehemiah today, which is an awesome book in the Bible. So before I know, we started in chapter 2, but I got to give you some pretext. I got to let you know what's going on, what leads us to the point of making our request known. Amen. So this is Nehemiah 1 right here. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning of Jerusalem." So one of Nehemiah's brothers had come to him, and he's asking what is going on in Jerusalem, because they had returned under Ezra's leadership. So King Nebuchadnezzar, before this, the Babylonian king, took the Jews into exile for 70 years. He took all the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. He, not all of them, but a lot of them, he took them into exile to Babylonia. This was punishment from God because they were disobedient. So because they were disobedient to God, God used their enemy to punish them and take them into captivity for 7 years. So in the book of Ezra, the Bible, before Nehemiah, we see him in chapter 2. Certain people have now came back into Judah now. So Ezra is leading people back. So if you look in chapter 2 of Ezra, it gives an in-depth look at how many people actually return with him. So look at verse 3. It says, "And he said to me, 'The survivors who are left from captivity and the prophets that are in great distress and reproach, the wall of Jerusalem is all broken down and its gates are burned with fire.'" So the survivors, the people that didn't get took into captivity, the people that are still left there, they're in distress, they're in reproach, they're in trouble, they're stressed out, they're in disgrace. But why are they in disgrace? King Nebuchadnezzar not only took people captive, but he said, "You know what, I'm going to make sure Jerusalem doesn't stand anymore." So he burnt down the walls and the gates that was protecting Jerusalem. So because he burnt it down now, they had no way to protect themselves against the enemy now. They were wide open. The Bible says that a city without walls is like a person without any control. People can just come in and out, in and out, in and out. So he had burned down this place now. Look at verse 4. "So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Wow. So Nehemiah heard these words. He cried. He was mourning. He was upset. He was broken down. His heart was grieved because of the state of Jerusalem. And his first instinct is to pray. You don't miss that. His first instinct is to pray. Let me pause right there, because I know sometimes our hearts get broken. Sometimes we get deeply pained and we get grieved and we get hurt. But is our first response to pray? Or is it to post about it? And then let 50 people jump in with their negative comments and negative emotions, and now you feed into that negative energy now. Yeah. Is our first response to pray about it, or is it to pick up the phone and complain to somebody about it? Somebody can't give you a good word. Somebody can't encourage you in a word. Somebody can't give you what thus says the Lord. What is our first response? Is it to pray or to complain? Nehemiah is faced with devastating news that is beyond his power. So what does he do? He goes to God about it. We can't always go to people about it. So I challenge you to quit inviting people in your life that can't do nothing about the situation anyway.
Amen.
Quit inviting these people that are going to tell you what this and what that is and can't even help you with what's going on. So Nehemiah says, you know what? I'm going to invite God to the party.
Amen.
I'm going to invite God. I'm not only going to invite God, but I'm going to make God the guest of honor, because nobody can fix this problem what I'm going through but God. So I love that Nehemiah says, you know what, this is going on, I'm mourning, I'm crying, so I'm fasting, I'm praying now, and he just doesn't do that. I love that, because he just didn't sit there and cry, y'all. He could have just cried and mourned about his problems, but what did he do? He fasted and prayed. That means he did something about it.
Amen.
Yeah. While we're mourning and crying, he also fasted before the God of heaven. I live long enough to know that my current situation won't change unless I do something about it.
Amen.
Yeah. Crying about it won't change it. Complaining about it won't change it. Getting high about it won't change it. Getting drunk about it won't change it. I've lived long enough that none of my problems will change unless I do something about it. Yeah. I love this, because off the top he realizes that even though my heart is broken, it's too big of a problem for me to tackle alone, but I got God on my side. So sometimes it isn't that we don't want to do something about it, but we try to do something about it in our own strength. And my own strength is very limited. I don't know about y'all, but my own strength is very limited. I can only do so much in my own body, in my own mind, in my own self. But the Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I love that I can do all things. I'm not cut off. I'm not cut short. Even though I'm struggling, I might can't make it, but I got a God who can, a God that never fails, a God that is too big for any problem. I love the Todd Tribbett. Same God right now, the same God back then.
Yeah.
I think we get confused sometimes. We forget about that God. The same God that split the Red Sea and let people walk on it is the same God I serve today.
Amen.
So the same God that can heal somebody from cancer is the same God that heals my cold. See, just because the problem gets bigger doesn't mean God gets smaller.
Yeah.
Don't miss that. Just because the problem gets bigger doesn't shrink my God. My God is still bigger than any problem. That's why his name is above all names.
Yeah.
So I love that God, that Nehemiah says, you know what, I got to go to God who can help me with this problem. Let's look at verse 5 right here. And it says, and I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel who have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. I don't know how many of y'all were here last week, but he just did something that messed me up as I was studying for this text, because before Nehemiah is praying, guess what he did, y'all? He did acts. See, I didn't miss that. In verse 5, let me go back to it. In verse 5, I pray, O Lord of heaven, O great and awesome God, who keeps your covenant, who loves and observes your commandments. Before he asks God for anything, he acknowledges who God is.
Amen.
Yeah. Before I bombard you with my request, let me know how grateful I am that you're in my life. Before I get to asking for something, before I get to talking to you about what I need, let me tell you what you mean to me.
Amen.
Nobody wants to feel used.
Amen.
Yeah. Those of us that have children, if our children came up to us and said, feed me, take me here, take me there, pay for this, pay for that, pay for that, and barely acknowledge your presence, how would you feel?
Amen.
You want me to do all this for you, and I will because I love you, but you can't even acknowledge me like I'm your servant, your slave, and you come for me? And we don't want to feel like that. Why do we think God wants that? How would we feel if our children just used and abused us as a means to get anything? So before he asks God for anything, he starts off with adoration.
Amen.
And in verse 6, he says, let your ear be attentive. Hear my prayer, which I pray before you day and night. The children of Israel, your servants, confess their sins. That's the second one on Acts. Confession. I love this. He said, I have sinned, both my father's house and I have sinned. Last week, I gave you the motto per se of how we should pray with the Acts. Adoration, a confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So he goes through this thing and he's talking to God and he says, you know what? I need to get to a point in my life to realize that the reason all this happens is because of our sins. I got to deal with our sin. This is why we get it in your word is so important. Check this out, because we have to know who God is and how to get a prayer through God. Brother Nehemiah started confessing his sins, but not only his, the house of Israel and his father's house. His daddy is dead, but I need to repent for some of that stuff. Because some of that stuff is still around. Some of that stuff is still in me and in my family and all this stuff. So I confess my sins, but I got to repent also sometimes for some past stuff. Because sometimes I'm a mess still inside me. Even though my mommy gone, whoever, I'm a mess still in me. Or maybe daddy demons still plaguing me. I'm trying to get rid of this stuff. It's in my family tree. I got kids now, and I don't want them going through the same stuff. I've seen it in grandma. I've seen it in mama. I've seen it now with me. I need to get rid of this stuff. So he says, you know what? I can't just repent for me and my sins, but I got to go through my bloodline now. I got to get this stuff out of here. And I love this. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess in turn, they will receive mercy. Y'all better learn how to repent. It's important to repent for our sins. Why? If you don't repent, you can't prosper. Which means if I got my heart clogged up and won't ask God for forgiveness, it's some things he won't give me. If I can't acknowledge my faults and my wrongs, if I can't fix a situation, if I can't ask him to forgive me, he won't let me prosper, y'all. So sometimes the reason why we're not prospering, that's why people sometimes have health issues and things like that, because your heart is jacked up because you won't repent. It's a sick of repenting, but like, look at this. But if they turn from them, they will receive mercy. God is full of mercy, y'all.
Amen.
He wants to give us mercy, but we have to make the choice to turn. Let's look at verse 7. For we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray that your word, you commanded your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Wow. I love this because he prays and he gets very specific of what they've done. Yeah, we ain't just disobeyed you, God. We've been corrupt. We've been acting a plumb fool. And I told you last week, guess what? Obedience is priceless, but disobedience is very costly. Don't miss that. Obedience is priceless, but disobedience is costly. What do you mean? Because I got a right to choose my sin, but I don't get a right to choose my consequences. Yeah. I get to choose whatever I want to do, but I don't get to choose what happens from what I've done. So even though obedience is priceless, because it reverses it, because my seconds of obedience ain't no telling how much God want to give me. You never know what that one act of obedience will bring upon your life. But on the flip side, that one act of disobedience might destroy your life. So we must understand how important it is to repent for our sins. And Nehemiah is throwing it out there. But then he says, I pray your word to get the blessings of God. Learn to pray the word. That's why and fasting and praying, I want to make sure we're getting in the word. Because the word teaches me who God is. What does he respond to? How he responds. And he says, I pray that word. So that means Nehemiah has spent some time doing what? Studying God's word. Let's look at this, what he says about God's word. But if you return to me, this is God saying, and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and will bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now there as your servants, your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Look how long the confession goes on, y'all. He continues to talk about confessing their sins from God. And I love this because God is looking for humility. We're in a life where people don't want to be humble. Being humble is not cute. It's not fun. Everybody wants their chest out, their pride out. Look at my accomplishments. Look at what I've done. But God responds to humility. He wants us to surrender all that we have so that we can receive all that God possesses. Ooh, he wants us to surrender all we have to receive all that he possesses. So check this out. God is attracted to weakness. That don't even sound right. That's why I love God. He flips it up on us. Yeah, God says God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Yeah, God uses things that are weak to make them strong. God loves you and God loves your weakness. Paul said it like this to him, that my weakness is made perfect in his strength. So God loves it when we are weak. Pastor Jim Sabala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church wrote this. Check this out. I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. The first step in spiritual awakening is demolition. We cannot make a headway in seeking God without first tearing down the accumulated junk in our souls. Rationalizing has to cease. We have to start seeing the sinful debris we hadn't noticed before, which is what holds back the blessings of God. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit and quenches his power among us. We have an example right here in this biblical text. Nehemiah just didn't stop at my sins. He stopped at everybody's sins. Why? Because he realized some stuff had been built up. And if we're going to get where God wants us, we got to perform demolition. You know what demolition is? You ever seen them tear down a building? What do? They plant bombs, intentional bombs all over the building. And they set them off at the same time because if the bombs go off at this exact place, at the exact time, the building comes down. But if the bombs aren't placed in the right spot, the building, the structure will still stand. Well, just like that, the word of God has to hit the right spots. And the right spot is right here in that heart. Got to hit every piece of that heart, every part of that heart. Why? So God can begin to tear down everything, not because he wants to hurt you, because he's trying to build you up in him. God wants to build you up and make you a new person. So he says, we haven't just disobeyed God. We've been very corrupt, and we have not kept your commandments or your statutes. We ain't kept your ordinance. We've been acting a fool, God. We've been doing whatever we want to do and how we want to do it and when we want to do it and loving it while we're doing it. Ain't nothing good. We're doing whatever we want to do. So praying and fasting, he says, I haven't been praying fast because it makes the spirit and heart tender before God. Yeah. We begin to see things like never before. We begin to see sins we've never noticed. Yeah. Prayer and fasting makes us weak physically, but strong spiritually. Oh, yeah, yeah. Prayer and fasting makes you weak physically. Y'all, we flesh. This body wants what it wants, and when it wants it, it wants it. Amen, somebody. We in the perfect church and new creation church. Where we at? The perfect church. Our perfect church got to go. We in new creation church. And the body wants it when it wants it, how it wants it. Amen. And we got a real devil. Guess what? He know your flavor. He know what you like. He know you like him tall, dark, and black. He know you want a light skin, whatever you want. He knows what he know your flavor. He know it. And he going to send your flavor to you. So that's what fasting does. It takes some time apart saying, you know what? I love this food. I love this thing. I love this thing so much. I got to pull myself from it for a little bit. Because once I pull myself from it a little bit, now I got to depend on God to help me with it. And I told you, the more or longer I depend on God, it helps me. So when God sent my flavor, and my flavor ain't the will of God, I can ignore that flavor. Amen. I ain't got to taste. My taste buds change. I ain't got to have that flavor today because I've been in the will of God. I've been weak physically, but now I'm strong spiritually. Amen. Okay. So I believe one of the reasons God does miraculous things when we pray and fast is because he's attracted to weakness. God is looking for those who really believe that whatever God has to offer is better than anything this world can give me. Because when I'm praying and fast, I'm saying, you know what, God? I'm humbling myself and I believe what you have ain't worth what they're trying to give me. It's better and it's bigger. And guess what? It comes with a blessing and not a burden. Don't miss that. The stuff the world gives you, you think it's a blessing, but it comes with a burden. The blessings of God never bring sorrow. Look at verse 10 and 11. Now these are your servants, your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servants prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king cupbearer. Verse 10 shows thanksgiving. Your servant, people who you have redeemed, your great power, and your strong hand. So that's the part of the acts that now he's coming and saying, you know what? Now I'm giving thanksgiving for who God is. I thank him that I'm his people, that he's done all these things in my life. Thank you, God, for delivering me. Because guess what? A grateful heart is a thankful heart. Amen. Yeah, yeah. When I'm grateful for what I got, it's easy to become thankful. It really is. People that aren't thankful aren't grateful. Scan your brain real quick for about 5 seconds and think about that complaining person that you see all the time. That person at work that always complain, they ain't got never nothing good to say, never nothing good. They got breath in their body, they walking, they ain't in the hospital, they ain't got cancer, they ain't sick, they ain't on dialysis, they got their children healthy, everything. They got a lot of stuff, but they never happy. always complaining. That means you're not grateful for what God has done. Because once you realize how grateful you are, it's easy to see how much God is blessing you. Amen?
Amen.
So we are no different. When someone is appreciative of what we have done for them, we're more likely to do it again. And that's how God is. It ain't that he's holding stuff up from us and picking and choosing like that in a sense. But for those that are more grateful, it's no different than us. If you were more grateful, it kind of tends my heart to go help you out a little bit more. It pushes me towards you. So verse 11, I love this. He ends with the last part, supplication. He says, Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to my prayer. Look at what he asks. Let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. So after adoration, after confessing his sin, after thanking God for who he is, he says, you know what, God? Now I need something from you. I need something. I need mercy in the sight of this man. This is what I need. I have to have this. I need something that only God can give me. Don't miss that. He needed intervention when it came to talking with the king. The king was his man because he was the king's cupbearer. This is very significant into what he is. So who is the cupbearer? The cupbearer was an escort of the monarch at meals. So the cupbearer was around every time the king ate his meals. And what was the cupbearer's job? To taste the king's liquids before the king ate to make sure they weren't poisoned. So the cupbearer had to taste the king's drink, his wine, or wherever it was, and make sure that it wasn't poison. So if the cupbearer constantly put his life on the line for you, you kind of got some good morale with this person. Because he's constantly putting his life on the line for me. He's rolling with me. He's close. And so if you constantly put your life on the line, that means you have some credibility to you. But because he put his life on the line and risked it daily, he also became a close confidant of the king now. So now, I'll give you that. Now we jump into chapter 2. And let's look what it says. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year, King Xerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face so sad since you were not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. So some time had passed now. Nehemiah has fasted, he's prayed, he's mourning, he's done all this stuff. The brother has a good job. He's sitting with the king. Nehemiah is taking care of him. Remember, he's good. He's sitting with the king. He got a good job, but he's still upset about his people's situation. If he doesn't live in the palace, he's there quite often. So he's living good. He's doing his thing. But I love this because he has every reason to be happy, but he's still sad in his heart. Everything is going good in his life, but his people are struggling. Lord have mercy. I should be happy. I'm living a good life, but my people are unprotected right now. I got all this going on for me. I got all the resources, but my people not good. So if my people not good, that means I can't be good. I'm trying to raise up some brothers right now that are concerned about their family and their communities. I'm trying to raise up some brothers that love God and want to make sure they people good and not just them. Because it's easy to make sure I'm good. It's easy to make sure I'm good. I can handle that. But what about my people? And as I look at pop culture and all these things, it's funny to me how the rappers are just now boycotting Gucci. They just now boycotting Gucci. I can get a whole list about that. Y'all want to hear it? Number one, it costs too much. I went to KG yesterday, see some shoes that were replicas of Gucci shoes. They were like $79. So the shoes look the same. I don't care what kind of leather you got on. They look the same. But you want me to spend $500 on those and those are $79? For what?
Right.
They look the same.
Right.
Two, the only reason you buy it so you can stun on people who can't afford it.
See.
So if you want to stun on somebody that can't afford it, what is wrong with you? What in you that makes you feel because you got on something on the outside, you better than somebody? Because I don't care what you got on the outside. If your inside jacked up, you really ain't nothing to me. You got to have some integrity. Forget your clothes. What is your integrity? What is your character? What is your heart like? You can't wear a Gucci and don't take care of your kids. So that don't matter to me what you got on the outside.
Amen.
Number three, because of your influence, you got young brothers with Gucci belt, Gucci shoes, Gucci shirts, and no money in the bank account. Don't even got life insurance. They walk around with $1,000 worth of clothes and barely got $100 in their pocket. So somebody can say something to them? What is wrong with our men? Why are we feeling like, it's not like little boys that you need that approval. You need that somebody to say something to you. You find your identity in some clothes. Look how messed up that is. If I don't have this on, I don't feel a certain way. When the Bible says our identity should be found in Christ, Christ is my identity now. I don't need what the world has. And number four, this is my last one. Gucci isn't giving one rapper one red cent for advertising their brand. If you going to say Gucci, wear Gucci, and do all this, the least you can do is make them pay for it.
Amen.
If you're going to do all that, you're going to get them free advertisement, a free commercial, and do all this all over your music, and you ain't even getting nothing for it. That's not even smart. So after God, think about this. God isn't just concerned about me. He's concerned about the marginalized. So if I have a voice and I have power, and as a man, we always have voice and power, what? In our home as a man, with our family, with our women and our children, and then into our community. So we always have some kind of voice. It might not be on a national level, but it's on a community level. So wherever my voice can be powerful, and I have to uphold that and care not just about me, but about my people as well.
Amen.
That's why I love Nehemiah about that. But look at verse 3. And I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and his gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Oh, now we're getting to the meat of this thing now. Yes, Nehemiah was afraid. Y'all remember Nehemiah was afraid when the king asked him that? Why was he afraid? You ain't allowed not to be happy in the king's presence.
Right.
It's the king. If you're not happy in my presence, are you not thinking I'm doing a good job of my kingship? Are you not honoring me as a king? Coming around me sad? So he was afraid that I might lose my life today. So my first word is say, may the king live forever. Let's first get that out my shoulders. I appreciate you, king. But this is why I'm sad, because there's some problems going on in my community, some problems going on back home, and my gates is burned down and it's jacked up. So how can I be happy when everything around me back home is messed up? How can my face not be sad when a 15-year-old boy get killed for robbing a pawn shop? Yeah, that's Indianapolis, yeah. How can my face not be sad when 2018 was the bloodiest year we ever received for the murders? How can I not be sad? We have to learn to put ourselves in the Bible and in the text. How can we not be sad about the current state of our communities, from Hallville to Post Road and everywhere in between? We have to do something about it.
Yeah.
So don't miss this. His mourning, his fasting, his praying led this up for the king to say, what do you request? The one person on earth who can help me make a change, the one yes I need, came to me and said, what is your request?
Amen.
Y'all ain't happy about fasting and praying. The one person I need a yes from, I can get yes all over the place, but they don't matter nothing to me. The one person I need a yes, tell somebody, favor ain't fair, but it's on me. Favor ain't fair, but it's on me. The one person I need a yes from comes through and asks me, what do I request? So that means I've been praying, I've been fasting. The king don't know nothing I'm praying and fasting about. What does that mean? That means God touched his heart.
Amen.
Ooh, that means God touched the king's heart for me. The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it where he pleases. So God touched the king's heart just for me. Let's know God will touch somebody's heart just for you.
Amen.
That God will touch somebody's heart and put you in a position that you ain't even qualified for, thought you had, or anything. God will touch the right person's heart and say, I don't know what it is about you. I don't know why, but I got to give this to you. I don't even know God. But I got to give this to you. This king is a pagan king. He don't know God.
Yeah.
But he comes through and gives Nehemiah. He says, what do you request? And I love this. He says, what do you request? And Nehemiah keeps the same flow. He says, so I pray to the God of heaven.
Amen.
Woo. Yeah. Don't pray for something. Don't beg for something.
Wow.
Don't ask all this stuff and then forget to consult God when he give it to you.
Amen.
Don't pray for it. Don't beg God for it. Now it's time for you to get what you want. And God on the back burner. Want to put your needs down. Because he said, what is your request? He could have said anything. But he says, you know what? Before I do that, I got to go back to my roots. I got to pray to the God of heaven, because I can't mess this up. Because my people riding on this. My people need this. I love this. Make your request known. So look at this. In the New Testament, what is Philippians 4:6 says? Be anxious for nothing. He could have been anxious when the king said, what's your request? I want this. Hurry up and blurted it out. No, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God.
Amen.
Communicating with God is asking him for what you need. Being thankful for what he wants to give to you. The reason our prayers don't get answered some of the times is because we're not specific. God wants to ask, Lord, bless me. What does that mean?
Amen.
What does Lord bless? Because blessing to me may look different than blessing to you.
Amen.
Blessing to me might be, Lord, I need this job. Blessing to you might be, Lord, I need my parent healed from cancer. It might be this, it might be that. What does blessing mean? We have to learn to be specific. We're specific about everything else. We go to our fast food place, order the food how we like it. I need cheese, mayonnaise, no tomato, no onion, no pickle. I need my steak medium well, slightly pink, not burnt. We specific with everything else.
Amen.
But when we come to God, we just throw it up there. Just throw it up there any kind of way. Lord, take care of the blood. But no. Be specific. You have to learn how to make your requests known before God. So when we learn how to pray right, we are specific, and God comes down and helps us with specifically what we need. Amen.
Amen.
So God is trying to teach us how to pray, but guess what? Prayer can't be just a one-time thing. Prayer has to become a lifestyle.
Amen.
See, God is trying to teach us as a church what the importance of prayer and fasting, how much we're praying to God and fasting before God. We're praying, we're inviting God in our life, having communication for God. And this is truth be told, this is how some of us pray sometimes. Boom. In case of emergency, break glass. Don't get it twisted. In an emergency, you should break the glass. You need God's word and you need prayer. But it shouldn't only be used in emergencies. It should be used every day. That's why the Bible says what? Pray without ceasing. That means I ain't got to be on my knees. I could be in my car asking God to bless whatever I need him to do. Do what he need to do. Handle what he need to handle. Touch whatever heart. I could be at the job at my desk. I'll be praying at noon. You could be at your job at your desk and begin to pray and ask God to invite himself into this place, into my workplace. Touch these people's heart. Whatever. God wants us to learn how to pray without ceasing. That's when you're walking around praying. Just praying. No, but you have an attitude and a heart of prayer all the time. So we got to get from the point that we only break the glass in emergencies. Because don't get it twisted. We need God in emergencies, but I need him in my everyday life too.
Amen.
Because I don't know what. I need preparation, because sometimes when the emergency comes, I'm kind of already prepared for it. Because when the emergency comes, I can go help. Because I can remember this has popped in my spirit. When Serenity passed away, the chaplain, my daughter, if y'all don't know, my daughter was 7 months, and the chaplain came to the house, and he was talking to me. I'm like, I'm a minister. And all God kept saying to me was Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So even though an emergency hit my house, I had a word in my spirit. I had to trust the Lord with all my heart no matter what. So it's better to have that prayer attitude, so when the emergency comes, I'm able to handle the emergency.
Amen.
Versus the emergency taking me out.
Amen.
Hey man, I love this. I listen to Pastor Mike Tyre. And I love that he said this. Check this out. We have to shift from prayer being our last resort to our first priority.
Amen.
Yeah. Prayer is a last resort. We go through everything else, ask everybody their opinion, what we should do about it, how we should do it, and everything. We ask everybody else. Then when the rubber meets the road, oh God, here I am. Lord help me. It's me again, your humble servant. No, start off with that. Nehemiah began this whole thing with prayer to God. Only God can fix it. I appreciate your concern. If you're going to pray for me for real, I appreciate that too. But come, let me come to God first.
Amen.
God is the only one that can help my prayer. Amen. So look at verse 5. Nehemiah says this, verse 2. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Check this out, verse 7 and 8. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the regions beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertain to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house for I will occupy. And the king, you see that's the bow right there, and the king granted them to me accordingly, to the good hand of my God upon me.
Amen.
Wow, don't miss this. Nehemiah mourned about it. He prayed about it. He fasted about it. But don't get it twisted. Bro had a plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't wait because it was time for the king to make a request. He had to know what he was asking for. See, God's trying to put something in our lives and trying to get us ready for something. And when it's time to have it, we ain't even ready. So God can't give us what we want to have and what he wants to give us because we ain't ready. Nehemiah took the time. He had a plan. He said, look here, before I go and do all this, there's some stuff that need to be handled. I need to make my request known. I need a letter to get through them woods and over there because they're going to be tripping. If I ain't with the king, I ain't got no permission from the king, they might kill me. Then your boy that's over the forest, our boy over there, I need him to let me use all the trees I need because I need the trees to build the wall back up. I need all these things. And it says the temple, the king gave it all to him and that God's hand was upon me. Ooh, God honored his prayer. He touched the king's heart and had a plan. All this came together. Why? Because God's hand was upon him.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
The king asked, how long would it take me? And he set a time. God's hand was upon him. All these things happened because why? Nehemiah had prayed about it. He had fasted about it. He had a plan about it. And that allowed God's hand to be on him. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. The king, look at this bold at the bottom. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. I can use some more money. Can anybody use more money? Anybody can use more money? But I'd rather have God's hand upon me. I can use a better car. I can use a better car. But I'd rather have God's hand upon me. I can use some more clothes. I can use another house. I can use all kind of things that will make my life a little better. Anybody can use these things. But none of that matters if God's hand ain't upon me. I'd rather have God's hand upon my life. Because if I don't have God's hand upon my life, I really don't have anything. Because all it takes is one phone call. They say, we don't know where your money is. The bank. I don't know where that is. It's all gone. It all disappeared. All it takes is one tornado come and that whole house gets wiped down. All it takes is one accident and that car is gone and totaled out. All that stuff is gone. But if God's hand's upon me, don't matter if the stuff leaves, I still got God. So I'd rather have God's hand upon me. Yeah. God's hand was upon my brother. And in spite of all that was going on, in spite of his mess, because he confessed sins, y'all. He confessed all kinds of sins with his people, back all that. But God's hand was still on Brother Nehemiah.
Amen.
Look at verse 9 and 10. We almost done. And then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and of the horsemen with me. Then when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man who had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. God has shown Nehemiah unusual favor. He blessed him. He granted his request from the king, answered his prayer. He had the king say, you know what? Whatever you need, I got you because you're my man. You just put your life on the line for me so many times. You sad. You ain't never been sad in my presence. That means, guess what? I had a back and forth second. Just hit me in my spirit. That means Nehemiah had some character and some integrity. That means Nehemiah was doing his job correctly. That means Nehemiah was a good servant to the king. Because guess what? If he wasn't a man of integrity, then the king gonna let you leave? Then the king gonna give you letters to go handle that? The king gonna give you permission? The king gonna send his army and his men with you to help? So sometimes we pray about it, but we ain't set up ourselves to get it. We haven't walked in integrity. We haven't done the right thing. We haven't been honorable before God and honorable before men. So now God can't give us what we want to have. So Nehemiah was that dude. God had showed him favor. He gave him the king's permission. He gave him captains of his army. He gave him horsemen. Check this out. All was good. Nehemiah was in there like swimwear, y'all. He was good. Everything was going perfect. And then check this out. In verse 10, it says, Sanballat and Tobiah heard about it, and they were deeply upset. They were deeply disturbed. They had a problem. Everything's going good. His prayer's been answered. The king been hooking him up. He's getting blessing after blessing. It's rolling. But then two people come and they deeply disturbed. You have to understand, when I'm seeking God's will and God's hand is on my life, the enemy ain't happy. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. We're in a spiritual war. Don't think anything gonna happen. If I'm seeking God's will, I'm trying to be what God's called me to be, and I'm loving God, doing the will of God, and God is answering my prayers, it's gonna deeply disturb somebody.
Yeah, somebody,
the devil gonna get in somebody and try to mess it up. Because you gotta think, is the devil gonna let you walk around here blessed and highly favored and not do nothing?
Right.
Think gonna let you, I love Jesus, praise God, keep doing this and God is doing that. I ain't got no more troubles, no more worries. God took it all. No. He's coming to test your faith now.
Amen.
Yeah, I love this because faith isn't faith until it's tested. until you go through something, you don't know what faith is.
Yeah.
It's easy to say I have faith in something before something happens, but when my foundation gets shaken, when things don't go how I planned them to go, now where is my faith? Yeah. So Nehemiah has come through this thing. He's blessed, but now people are disturbed. People that don't even like each other, check this out, will come together against you. People that don't even like one another have nothing in common, but they don't like you. That's the only thing they got in common. We don't like you. So our job is to block your blessing from coming. After this, we ain't got to talk no more. We ain't got to be friends no more. Bye, I don't like you. But our job is to come together so you don't get your blessing. So Sambo and Tobiah have come now, and they're deeply disturbed. Look at the reason they were mad. Because a man had came to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. That's why you mad, bro?
Boy.
My father's house is in ruins. The gates is torn down. My people have no protection. My people are hurting. It's all jacked up. And you mad that I came to see about their well-being?
Right.
Don't think just because you're doing the right thing, people will agree with it. They still will come bad of you. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you doing anything that advances God's kingdom and God's people. He cool with you buying more whips and more chains. He cool with you buying more drugs. He cool with you getting more drugs. He cool with all that stuff. Ain't nobody coming against you in that stuff. But when you decide to advance God's people and help God's people, oh, now it's a problem. So the children of Israel needed this, and Nehemiah came to them. So you are praying for your family. You're praying for your church family. You're praying for Pastor and Lady Thomas and I and all this stuff. Don't think something. They're going to try to shake your boat. You got to be prepared for this stuff. Because guess what? Haters are going to come no matter what.
Amen.
So you have to be careful. What we post sometimes on social media, not trying to run nobody's life, but you got to be careful. Because people will try to steal your joy. And you can't invite people into your space to steal your joy and try to take what you got. Sometimes you got to be careful of what you tell people. Because all they're doing is trying to tell somebody else. They can't be happy for you. Even if I got saved, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God is moving in my life. God is moving in life. Whatever. You ain't changed. They smile on your face. And after they agree with you, as soon as you leave, they ain't changed. But I just seen this. I just seen that. But God is really doing something in me. I know I might not be where I want to be, but I ain't where I was. Y'all miss y'all shout right there. I might not be where I want to be, but he's still working on me. He's still loving me. I'm getting somewhere. I ain't where I was last week, last month, last year. I'm getting somewhere. So we got to be careful, because people will put negative comments to try to contend your faith. We got to be strong and spiritual with God. Because while I'm praying and fasting, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws on me. Why? Because God's hand's on me.
Amen.
Nehemiah could have said, you know what? I can turn around. The kingdom gave me all this, but these people have came to try to destroy what I'm building, have trying to hurt me and take away what I'm doing, the good that I'm doing. But Nehemiah didn't stop. He kept on marching, y'all. And as I close, and I'm sure I'll touch Nehemiah again, because Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Awesome book. Nehemiah is trying to build the wall. And the same dudes, if you're reading the whole chapter, the whole book, excuse me, these same people are antagonizing him throughout the whole book. They trying to stop my brother. They even go so far as trying to kill my brother. And one time he's on the wall working. He's building, y'all. He's building the wall. He's trying to build something. I love this. This scripture right here makes me think about my family and everything. He's trying to build the wall. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. When they say, Nehemiah, come down from the wall. We need to holler at you for a minute. Same dude that's hating on him.
Right.
We need to holler at you for a minute, Nehemiah. Come down from the wall. You know what Nehemiah tells them? I'm working on something. I can't come down. Woo! I'm working on something and I can't come down. I don't care what you got going on. God called me to do something. I'm working on something and I can't come down. You might want me to go to the club with you. I'm working on something. I can't come down. You might want me to go get high with you. I'm working on something. I can't come down. You might want me to go here and there and do this. I can't do it because I'm working on something and I can't come down. So God is calling us to work on something. Because guess what? People want you to come down, but God trying to lift you up. God wants to do something in your life miraculous. But we got to be willing to let him do it. Amen. Can we give God a shout of praise in this place? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. God has been so good and so kind to us all. And I don't know where you stand in the need of with your relationship with Christ. If you know, just flat out, if you know I need to be saved, I've been ripping and running, doing my own thing for so long. It's 2019. People checking out left and right. It's getting crazy out here. And trust, nobody can scare you into salvation. Never my plot, never my ploy. You got to make a conscious choice to follow Jesus. Like anything else in life, you have to make a choice. It's a decision to follow Christ. But if you know, you know what? I haven't been saved, and it's time to give my life to God. Make that decision today. Or maybe I have, but you know what? I've been out the will of God for a while. It's time for me to come back home. It's time for me to get this thing right. I've been doing my own thing for so long and so long. It's time for me to come back and get this thing right. If God is speaking to your heart today, make today your day. Let today be a celebration or that you're working on something. That God has called you to do something. You know what, God? God has something for me beyond what I see, beyond what I know. And it's time for me to get to it. Or maybe you are saved and I'm looking for a church home. We would love to have you here. Lady Thomas and I would love to have you here to pray for you, to be with you, to be there for you, to help you be everything God has called you to be. Because God has a plan and purpose for your life. And it's our job to push you toward that. Or maybe you're a candidate for baptism. Whatever the case may be, we are here today, but we are God's family. We sung that song today, and it blessed me that we love you. I love you, and you love me. We are God's family, and we ain't family who is. We got to pray for each other. We got to love one another. Jesus said this, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Not how well you preach and teach. Not how big your services is. Not how much you pray. Not how much you fast. No, I would know you my disciples by your love for one another. And this love God has is above all. The love of God is something you never can experience before. It's the most. That's why God is the most high. Can't get it nowhere else. So if you whatever you need, y'all know me. I don't drag out an altar call. That ain't my MO. But I want you to know that God loves you and he cares. So if you need to be saved or rededicate your life to Christ, let today be that day. If you need a church home, you need somebody that's with you, praying with you, loving and agreeing with you, let today be that day. Whatever you stand in the need of, let God have his way. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's give God a praise. Amen. Give God a praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.